Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is joined by cinematographer Cameron Shaw and technical editor, Kira Pace. Gotta be your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're hoping for that participation from you out there. Don't just listen, please give us a call as well. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we really do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Most of our lines are open right now, except the Eden line, which is, none of the line blinking. So it's a great time to call. We do get a little bit crowded occasionally at the end of the show, but if you call now, we will get you on as soon as possible. So again, those two numbers are 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Just to remind you, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else that I'll have time to name. So feel free to come up with a question of your own, as I said, or answer one of ours. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you would like to listen to us in live stream online, if the signal's a little bit weak in your area, it's hard to believe that KLW has a weak signal in some areas, but it's true. That can be accomplished by going to kalw.org. Again, that is kalw.org. And if you'd like to listen to the podcast of our show, it should be up reasonably soon after our program tonight. That will also be at kalw.org, and of course a lot of other places like iTunes later on. But start with KALW. And so we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Kira has a very pithy introduction this week. Kira Pace misspoke last week.
Are you
thinking of one thing in particular?
I am.
But is this a retraction?
No, I only misspoke because I completely misremembered. So, you know, that's my explanation there. But when Ed called and asked about the bread, and I mentioned that there was a bacteria that was... that led to people thinking it was the blood of Christ. And I said it was lactobacillus, but it was actually Serratia marcescens. But I...
What's wrong with you?
I know. We were all judging you silently.
Yeah, I know.
That's all right.
Everything else, accurate, just wrong bacteria
okay,
name.
Okay, that's fine.
That was it. While she is no fan of pointless shows of military might, Cameron Shaw has to admit that she becomes childishly giddy when the Blue Angels fly overhead.
I do. It's one of my favorite things.
Is it?
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, doubts that any member of the Trump family was at Normandy either, at least not when any fighting was going on.
All right. So that is us, and we'll begin with Miss Spoke Kira Pace.
All right, so I'll give you a quick question, and if you hate it or answer it quickly, I can give you another question if you'd like. But here's the quick question. The title of what Billboard Hot 100 song can be roughly translated as I Learn by Means of Suffering? Again, there's a Billboard Hot 100 song whose title can be roughly translated as I Learn by Means of Suffering.
Well, that obviously means the title is not in English.
I think that's fair. I don't recall any song called, quote, I Learned by Means of Suffering.
No, nothing is out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. That's true.
Is this a current song? Like current Billboard Top 100?
No.
All-time Billboard Top 100?
Not all-time, no. But it was in the Billboard
Okay.
Top
100
at some point.
Can you give us a kind of a general time frame on it? Like a decade or something like that?
Pre-1980, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Well, I have nothing on this.
I can give you... I Learned by Means of Suffering.
Can you give us a language?
Nope.
Ah, okay.
All right. Read that once more.
Yeah. Sure. The title of what Billboard Hot 100 song can be roughly translated as I Learned by Means of Suffering.
All right. And Cameron, you go ahead, too.
Okay. I would like to wish both of you a happy International Year of the Periodic Table.
All right.
And as such, I have a periodic table question. What was the first element to be isolated in a laboratory? And it was 350 years ago, 200 years before the periodic table. So 1669.
First element to be isolated.
In a laboratory?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the first element by any means. It's just
no.
The first element to be individually isolated.
Yes.
How about nitrogen?
No.
Is it a gas?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, helium?
No.
That's a good guess.
Now that I say it is a gas, I'm starting to question myself because I'm horrible at chemistry. It may not always be a gas, put it that way.
It's all right. Can it change from something to a gas to something because of temperature?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
I'm going to have somebody call in and give me what for about the periodic table.
I would have just expected it to be something that's, I mean, based on the wording of this question, isolated in a laboratory makes me think that it would be a gas. I mean, you have gold, and that's been around forever. That wouldn't have to be isolated in a laboratory.
No.
And you have, gold and silver and iron.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be it's gaseous without necessarily being a...
Yeah, I think it's a gas because it was isolated by heating it, by heating something that turned it into this element. So...
Is it something that has a... utilitarian use?
At the time, it could be, yes. It could be used as a... Oh, I'm going to give it away if I say that. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But not so much today?
I don't believe so.
All right. Okay. Let me think about that. Just read it once more.
Sure. What was the first element to be isolated in a laboratory in 1669?
Do you have the name of the scientist that did this?
No.
Okay.
Off the top of my head. I read,
Or the country that it happened in?
Nope.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I need
That's
some
right.
more background info.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Colette from San Leandro.
Hi, Colette.
And what's another name for the card game Blackjack?
Can you say that name again, please?
A blackjack.
Oh, blackjack. Well, it's 21.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. May all our questions be as easy as that. All right, let me give you a couple questions here. What U.S. state has the highest union membership per capita? What U.S. state has the highest union membership per capita?
New Jersey?
No, it's a decent guess,
yeah,
but no.
A good guess.
I think they're in the top 10.
And this is all unions? Like,
yeah,
across
just
the board.
In general, okay. Across the board.
Per capita.
Right. It's 24.3% of working.
How about
people.
Pennsylvania?
No.
No.
What about Michigan?
No.
Oh, that's good.
So again, what U.S. state has the highest union membership per capita? 24.3 of working adults. And second question. What is the best-selling fiction book series of all time? This is for adults, not for children. Okay? The best-selling fiction book series of all time in English for adults has the same main character. There were 82 books.
Wow.
And 300 million of them were sold.
Over 82 books.
82 books featuring this same main character.
Is it Agatha Christie?
Yeah.
Something Agatha Christie?
No, because she didn't have that. Well, I mean, she had written, she wrote a lot of books, of course, but they didn't, they were sort of rotating between different main characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's my issue with Woodhouse, too.
That was where my mind went to, yeah. Was mysteries and Agatha Christie. Is that the right genre?
You mean as a mystery?
Like the mystery detective whodunit?
I don't think I'm going to be very specific about it. Okay. But it's fiction. Fiction.
How many Sherlock Holmes
adults.
Books are there? Sherlock Holmes?
That's a very good guess, but no. No.
Hmm.
And plus, okay. There weren't 82. There were stories, but not full-length
not
books.
Not full novels.
Right.
And these are all full novels.
They're these are all okay. Full novels, yeah.
82, gosh.
With the same main character.
Same main character, yeah.
What about James Bond? No, there were not,
but they're
82,
not 82
Bond
James
books,
Bond.
Yeah.
And they're all by the same
author. Okay.
So what is the best-selling fiction book series of all time in English for adults featuring the same main character, 82 books, 300 million of them were sold? And what U.S. state has the highest union membership per capita? 24.3 of working adults. And the two numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is it.
Hi.
I'll take a shot at the element.
Yes.
Could it be potassium?
It's not potassium. No.
It's not.
Thank you for
okay,
guessing.
Potassium was discovered in 1807, so a long time ago. All right, I will figure that out in a second. Okay, what is the driest desert in the whole world?
Antarctica.
Very good. You got that very quickly. Okay, that is good. Let me see. The second question I have is the oldest game, board game. Was it chess, backgammon, or Senate?
What was the last one?
Senate. S-E-N-E-T.
Probably that one that we've never heard of. Senate.
It gives a yes. Yes. It was discovered in pre-dynasty Egypt 6,000 years ago.
Wow.
So, that, yeah, 6,000. And it's very strange. It's really very close to both chess and backgammon. Very, very close. So people played games there for a long time. Okay. Well, let us talk about Jacob. First of all, I want to tell everybody, please enjoy the Hunter Moon tonight. It's beautiful. It's going to be very beautiful full moon. Call it Hunter Moon. I don't wish, Hunter to catch many animals. Hopefully they will fail. But Hunter Moon. The second thing, happy Rosh Hashanah, although it's a couple of days late. How do you say, what does Rosh Hashanah mean in Hebrew?
Oh, don't look me. I'm terrible at this stuff.
Well, don't look at me.
Rosh Hashanah is the...
It's the new year.
It's the new year,
but
Actually,
it means the head of the year.
Okay.
Oh.
It means the head of the year, not the Rosh. Rosh means head. Shana means year.
Oh, okay.
Well, how do you say it in Arabic, by the way? Do you know how do you say it in Arabic?
Happy New Year?
If you wish, our Jewish cousin... Happy New Year in Arabic. How do you say it?
Would it start with Ras, R-A-S?
Yes.
Yes. And then, I don't know what Hashanah is going to sound like in Arabic,
Ras
but it'll
Sana.
Be close.
Ras is Sana.
Ras
very,
Sana.
Very close.
Okay.
Some people don't know that. Hebrew and Arabic are so close. They're a bit different in writing, but they're very, very close. Okay. Our biblical figure, Jacob, what is his relationship to the biblical figure, Israel?
What is, I'm sorry.
I mean, how is he related? Jacob, you know, the father of Joseph and right. other 11 sons. What was his relationship with biblical figure Jacob?
Did he lead one of the tribes of Israel?
No, but there was a man actually named Israel. Jacob was a definite biblical figure. Israel was also a biblical figure.
Were they brothers?
No.
Oh.
I'll surprise you. Actually, the same person.
Oh.
After the, Jacob, you remember Jacob Ladder?
Mm-hmm.
When Jacob struggled with God, and then God told him, from now on, your name is going to be Israel. Anybody aware of that?
No, I was not.
Okay, it's true. One last figure. Well, it's true that ancient Egypt, for a while, they had problem with immigration, like people have in this country. So the only way that met single people, but not couple. So this biblical figure was married, had a wife, had a beautiful wife. So when he came to the Egyptian border, he introduced his wife as his sister. That's true. You know, true, it's also in the Bible. You know, which biblical figure would, to be allowed to enter Egypt, at that time, he introduced his wife as his sister. Which biblical figure do you think? Sorry, I'll give you the answer because I know it is difficult. Abraham.
Oh.
Abraham, yes. And in fact, what for his bad luck, the Pharaoh fell in love with Sarah, or Soraya in her Hebrew name, and that was a problem for Abraham. Thank you, guys. I just like to ask this weird question because it makes history with interesting facts. Thank you. Always a great show.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to give us a call, we do have a couple of lines open right now. Feel free to do that. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer. Area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. And Kira, it's your turn.
All right. As I mentioned last week, Rent Cafe conducted a study of Americans, or a survey of Americans, regarding the most overrated tourist attractions in their respective states. Mm. So for each state on my list, tell me what attraction was voted by that state's residents as being the most overrated. So here's this week's list: Florida, Nebraska, Indiana, Ohio, South Carolina, Vermont, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Hawaii, and Kansas. Again, Florida, Nebraska, Indiana, Ohio, South Carolina, Vermont, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Hawaii, and Kansas. So I'll give you each a couple. What do you think is the most overrated or voted most overrated tourist attraction in those states?
Give the states once more.
Florida, Nebraska, Indiana, Ohio, South Carolina, Vermont, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Hawaii, and Kansas.
Okay. Florida. Anything to do with Disney World?
The answer is Disney World.
Okay. How about in Hawaii, Waikiki?
Waikiki Beach is the most overrated tourist attraction in Hawaii.
I agree with that.
Is Ohio the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Show enough.
And, okay. South Carolina, is that Hilton Head?
No, you're on the right track, but not Hilton Head.
Is it a head of some sort?
Okay. It's not a head of some sort, but... yes.
Like Myrtle Beach?
Myrtle Beach.
Oh, nice.
All right. So the ones we have left are Nebraska, Indiana, Vermont, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Kansas.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, team. It's wonderful to hear your voices again, as always.
Thank you.
This is Pun up near the zoo in Oakland. I'll take a wild stab. I didn't call for this, but I'll take a wild stab, Pennsylvania, and say the Liberty Bell. that it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Nice.
Pun notwithstanding. Yes, Pennsylvania actually had a tie between two, and Liberty Bell is indeed one of them.
Well, I feel good about that. Yes. I gave myself a bell.
That's right.
And I think Kansas is probably the farm owned by the Gale family, but that's just me being silly.
As in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Yes, from The Wizard of Oz. Hey, when I ran across the fact that I'd like to present to all of you, I was so gobsmacked that I didn't believe it, so I sourced it, and I got about three sources that say the number one most played song at British funerals.
Yeah, was it My Way?
My Way is number two.
Okay. Oh, that's number two.
Number two is My Way, so that is correct. Almost. And British is a little bit of a help.
Right.
Is it a Beatles or other British band?
It is
song?
A group.
Okay.
It is a group.
It's a group, not the Beatles.
Not the Beatles.
Okay.
Rolling Stones?
Not the Rolling Stones, although I would suspect that the survivors of this group are possibly as old as the Rolling Stones.
The Who?
No. And I'm kind of misleading you when I say the group, because they are a group, but not known for music.
The Monkees.
No, but it's a British group, right?
It is a British group, not known for music.
Interesting.
Oh, right. It's Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. It's Monty Python.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well done. All right, if I may, I want to open up a whole new area for you folks, and I'll make this as quickly as I can. I'm going to give you some sets that have an affinity, but all of them have an overriding commonality. Now, the example I'm going to give you, which is not what I'm going to ask you, is if I were to say Franklin and Eleanor and Bess and Harry, we know that those are presidents and their spouses, and then beyond that, it's Bess and Harry Truman and Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. So I'm going to give you a number of pairs of performers, and there's a connection within each pair, but overall they become part of a larger group. What I'm going to ask you to try to do is tell me what the larger group is, and then we can leave for the listeners, if you want, what the specific connections are.
Okay.
And it becomes more obvious if I just say, the first one I give you is Jim Backus to Leslie Nielsen, B. Benaderet to Elizabeth Perkins, Don Adams to Matthew Broderick, and Bill Cosby to Kenan Thompson.
Yeah, these are comic book characters who are played twice.
Correct, yep. Yes. Now, it's up to you if you want, but Bill Cosby to Kenan Thompson, B. Benaderet to Elizabeth Perkins, Jim Backus to Leslie Nielsen, and I'll even throw in Alan Reed to John Goodman in addition to Don Adams and Matthew Broderick. I can leave it out there, or you as a brilliant team could solve it.
Jim Backus to Leslie Nielsen, that's Mr. Magoo.
Yes.
Don Adams and Matthew Broderick are Inspector Gadget.
Wonderful.
The Alan Reed and John Goodman, that's Fred Flintstone.
Yes.
Wow.
So, now, Bill Cosby's the obvious one.
Yeah, it's Fat Albert.
Right. So what all that's left is B. Benaderet to Elizabeth Perkins.
Oh, right. Wilma.
They were not Wilma.
No?
They were
Betty Rubble.
Rubble.
Betty. Right. Wait, yeah. No, that's not right. Elizabeth Perkins was Wilma because Rosie O'Donnell was Betty.
No, wasn't Rosie Wilma?
Nope.
No.
All right, then I apologize profusely. It was B to, then it should have been B to Rosie.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, don't hold that against me, please.
All right, I won't.
All right. And more importantly, thank you for the wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Right. You're listening to Minds Over Matter, as I said before, and we'll say again. We've been here every Sunday for almost 26 years. We're 26 years, I should say. And you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, teacher and cinematographer Cameron Shaw. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And if you'd like to give us a call, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Cameron, I think it's your turn.
Okay, I have a couple of geography questions for you. There are two countries in the world that are doubly landlocked, which means you have to go through two other countries in order to get to a sea or a coast. What are they, and what is the only triply landlocked state in the United States?
Kazakhstan is one of the...
Kazakhstan is not one of them.
Oh, is it Kyrgyzstan?
You're very close.
It's Kyrgyzstan?
No, it is a stan.
It is a stan.
It's... Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan, okay. Yes. Right. And that one is a bit up for debate depending on how you define the Caspian Sea. But right. I'm going to count it. That's a political issue.
And so is the other one in Europe?
Yes.
So is it Liechtenstein?
Yes. Good job. Okay. And then, so what is the only triply landlocked state in the U.S.?
Triply.
Is it Kansas?
No.
Nebraska?
Nebraska. Nice.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Give us another question.
Okay. This is also geography, what point on Earth is furthest from the Earth's center?
You mean surface geographic point?
Yes, yes.
What's the name? It's a mountain in South America?
It is a mountain in South America, yes.
Yeah, I always forget this one's name, so I'm out. That's all I can
do.
Okay.
It's not Annapurna.
No. You're in the right area.
It is a long name, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a one-word name? Or?
Yes.
Is it a native name?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Right. Okay, just repeat the question.
Okay, what point on Earth is furthest from the Earth's center? And we've narrowed it down to a mountain in South America with a one-word long name.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi. Hi, Dana.
Hi.
I'm calling for a couple of different reasons. I had a question about Kira's question last week about gluten-free bread.
It wasn't my question. That was Eid.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I don't think sourdough...
Somebody said that sourdough bread was gluten-free,
yeah,
and
it's not. No.
It is less gluten-intense than regular bread.
I think that's fair to say.
Yes.
Right. So I was just curious about how that was worded or how it was explained anyway. This is Beth Ann in Berkeley, by the way. And I was also calling to try and take a guess at the union question. I was going to guess Illinois?
Not Illinois.
Or Minnesota?
Not Minnesota.
Okay. And then the other comment I wanted to make, Dana, is I thought it was really amazing a month or so ago when you did the show by yourself. It was a true case of the show must go on. And I heard you say later that your partner was in the hospital, so even more so that it was a difficult time for you. So,
oh, well, thank you.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. That's sweet of you to say. No, it's fun to do it. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it every week, let's put it that way, but it's a lot more work. But once in a while, yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name is Tara. I'd like to take two guesses. I believe the per capita for the Union State is West Virginia.
It is not West Virginia.
Wow.
Okay. And then my second guess for the fiction series is a book with the main character of Kinsey Malone by Sue Grafton.
That's good. But no, that's not it. Has she written 82 books with that same character?
I know of 26, and I thought, I didn't hear you say 82.
Yeah,
so
I'm sorry.
It's
82 books, and 300 million of them have been sold.
Wow. All right. I wasn't listening carefully. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye. All right.
I have a quick guess. Is it Horatio Hornblower by any chance?
It is not. That's a pretty good guess, but not 82 books, though.
Okay. I had no idea how many of those there were.
I don't know. Maybe 20, maybe less. Okay. So I have a letter question for you. What I want you to do is give me the five most common first letters in words in order. The five most common letters, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, what are the five most common first letters used in words? in order.
In order, you mean alphabetical order? Or
no, in
the,
order of, okay. of common usage.
Okay.
What are the five most common first letters used in English words? In order. All right.
It's great radio.
All right, think about that.
E-I-N-S-A. I'll start it off with something nice and wrong.
No. E-I-N-S-A. No, you have one letter correct.
One letter correct or one letter in the correct spot?
One letter correct.
Okay.
is the correct one S?
No, but you have to give me five in a row.
Okay.
So from what are the five most common first letters used in English words, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, and give them to me in order, please. I will give you one other question here. What is the fastest muscle in the human body? What is the fastest muscle in the human body?
How do you define fast?
In terms of its action.
There's
an
brain?
Action involved.
I mean, the brain, does that really count?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
All right. So once more, what is the fastest muscle in the human body? There's an action involved in the muscle, so yes.
Eyelids? Or something to do with your eyes? Ocular muscle.
Yes.
Yes.
I will take that. Okay. It's the muscle that makes the eyes blink.
Okay, that's kind of what I was getting at.
You can blink
at
a 1/100th of a second.
Wow.
So, very good.
Okay.
Okay. And since we are about halfway through, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, go first.
Okay. The title of what Billboard Hot 100 song can be roughly translated as I Learn by Means of Suffering? Also, regarding the most overrated tourist attractions in their states, what are the most, or the states I've left are Nebraska, Indiana, Vermont, Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Kansas.
Okay. I have out what was the first element to be isolated in a laboratory in 1669? What is the only triply... Oh, no, I'm sorry, we got that. And what point on Earth is the furthest from the Earth's center?
The element, is it sodium?
No.
Okay.
And you said this element can be solid and gaseous.
I believe so, yes. And I'm feeling bad about my lack of research on this.
That's all right.
But, yes, I believe so.
All right. And what U.S. state has the highest union membership per capita, 24.3% of working adults? What U.S. state has the highest union membership per capita? What is the best-selling fiction book series of all time in English for adults? The best-selling fiction book series of all time in English for adults? With the same main character. There were 82 books in this series, and they sold 300 million copies. And what is the most common first letter used in English words, according to the Oxford English Dictionary? What are the five most common first letters used in English words? So give those to me in the order, correct order, if you can. And that's it. All
right. Can I guess on the union again?
Sure.
How about Wisconsin?
Not Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Just finished up a phone call. I'll be right in. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'll be right in.
All right, you're on, so you can go right in after this.
Okay. Hello there.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm Janice from Tiburon. I wanted to take a guess at the best-selling series.
Yes.
Would it be the Perry Mason series?
Yes, it is. Oh. Perry Mason.
Wow.
Very
really?
Good. Yes.
Oh, it's a favorite of my parents and mine as well.
Great.
So, fabulous. Okay, and then I'm just going to take a wild guess at the union question. Could it be Ohio?
It is not Ohio.
Okay, well, I got one out of two.
You did. You did very well.
So, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, great show.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye now.
Now she can go in the other room.
So who wrote Perry Mason?
Earl Stanley Garner.
Okay.
The best-selling fiction book series of all time in English for adults is Perry Mason. The same main characters, 82 books, over 300 million in sales. 300 million copies in sales. And good. I'm glad somebody got that. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
And kudos to the previous caller who got the Perry Mason series. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Great.
Okay. Kira, Indiana. Is it the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
It is.
Of course. Vermont. Is it... Now, mind you, Vermont is just such a, you know, quiet place. And practically the only best-known... You know, a place on the map is Ben and Jerry's factory.
That's right. It's the Ben and Jerry's factory. Nice. Good guess.
The Union State, how about Hawaii?
That is correct.
Wow.
Whoa.
Do you know what unions?
You've got all
hotels?
Those, people picking fruit and, of course, teachers. So that
sure.
that carries a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's a
good
question.
The element, the only one I could think of was like hydrogen that got isolated early.
It is not hydrogen, but that's a good guess.
Okay. Yeah. And I think the only song that came to mind, Kira, is like Guantanamera.
Nope.
Okay. But I think with that sort of thing, we're going to go out on a good note. We're done.
Thank you, Sparky.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
And I probably have none of them this time. Let's see. The isolated element is, was it oxygen?
It is not oxygen.
Something as simple as, no, okay. Union membership is in Virginia?
The previous caller stole that question from you. It's Hawaii.
Oh, it's Hawaii. Okay,
right.
Well. Kudos to Sparky and Maddie and I.
Right.
All right. Nebraska, is it the overrated tourist attraction? Is it the, I think it's the Platte Rail Yard?
No.
North Platte Rail Yard? No? Okay.
No.
The largest rail yard in the world.
Oh. Gives me something to look forward to when I go to Nebraska.
Yeah. Pennsylvania, there was a second one. Did they get, anyone get that?
No, not yet.
At the Hershey Amusement Park?
Yeah, Hershey Park is the other one. Nice.
Right. Yay. Illinois, is at the Willis Tower?
Nope.
No.
And same general area, though. You're in the right city.
How about...
Oh, boy, Chicago. That narrows it down.
But Navy Pier?
Nope.
No, that's good, though.
That's a good guess.
And you're in the right general area.
It's not
Chicago.
The Field Museum, is it?
No.
Good.
You can't knock the Field Museum. The place
yeah,
is great.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a nice place. All right. Well, I don't have anything else. So thanks. Perfectly adequate show this week.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what we aim for. In Chicago, is it the Magnificent Mile?
No, it's more...
Oh, is it the Bean?
It's the Bean.
Oh, man, the Bean.
Cloud Gate.
I love the Bean. What's wrong? Sorry.
Well, it's no Fields Museum, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. It's very
so
true.
So what states do you have left now?
Nebraska and Kansas.
Is Kansas... Oh, no. Is it like the house from In Cold Blood?
No. The Clutter family
is
home?
Is that a tourist attraction?
I don't know if it's a tourist attraction.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
That's dark.
Yeah.
Nebraska and Kansas. Nebraska. Okay. All right.
I think these are the two hardest on the list.
It's your turn, Karen.
All right. So I'm going to give you six short questions involving the seven deadly sins. You tell me the answer, keeping in mind that all the answers will include at least one vice. So here are the quick questions, and I'll give you each two. What vice's name is derived from the Latin word meaning to gulp down or swallow? In The Goonies, what member of the Fratelli family is performed by former Oakland Raider and two-time Super Bowl champ John Matuszak? What is the name of the University of Mississippi's marching band? What is the name of the 1985 Western comedy film that starred Tab Hunter, Cesar Romero, and the drag queen Divine? What film, originally nearly 8 hours long but edited down to under 2.5, was MGM's first feature-length movie? And what two deadly sins are resolved by the Brad Pitt and Kevin Spacey characters at the end of Seven?
Okay, I need to think about the seven deadly sins for a second.
Right. Do you want me to go through them again, or do you?
Go ahead, you can read them.
Okay. What vice's name is derived from the Latin word meaning to gulp down or swallow? In The Goonies, what member of the Fratelli family is performed by former Oakland Raider and two-time Super Bowl champ John Matuszak? What is the name of the University of Mississippi's marching band? What is the name of the 1985 Western comedy film that starred Tab Hunter, Cesar Romero, and the drag queen Divine? What film, originally nearly 8 hours long but edited down to under 2.5, was MGM's first feature-length movie? And finally, what two deadly sins are resolved by the Brad Pitt and Kevin Spacey characters at the end of Seven?
The end of Seven, it's jealousy. Is jealousy a deadly sin? No.
Yeah. You're close. Not jealousy, yeah. But...
envy.
Envy. There we go.
And, okay, so envy is Kevin Spacey's character.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brad Pitt's character... I don't want to give the end of that movie away on the radio.
That's all right.
Brad Pitt's character kills him, and I'm having trouble coming up with that deadly sin. Or... I'm sorry. I'll have to think about it for a second. It's one of my favorite movies.
The first film released by MGM was an adaptation of Frank Norris's novel McTeague, and the film was called Greed.
That is correct.
Eric von Stroheim. That's a lot more information than you asked for, but I have to give the whole thing. And
it's why I asked that question.
Okay, thank you. And that was cut down from 8 hours to 2, unfortunately. But the film with Divine and Cesar Romero, mm-hmm. and Tab Hunter, which I've actually seen, is called Lust in the Dust.
Lust in the Dust. Oh. Correct.
And are the Sloths the marching band?
No.
Okay.
Cameron, did you want to take one more?
I'm sorry. I'm stuck on this. I'm stuck on my deadly sins.
I'm good.
So give the ones that are left again.
Okay.
Please.
So first of all, we're done with lust, greed, and envy. So it's the other four. What vice's name is derived from the Latin word meaning to gulp down or swallow? In The Goonies, what member of the Fratelli family is performed by former Oakland Raider and two-time Super Bowl champ John Matuszak? What is the name of the University of Mississippi's marching band? And what is the other deadly sin resolved at the end of Seven, the movie Seven? We have that Kevin Spacey was envy. We're looking for the one portrayed by Brad Pitt.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Is the gulp or swallow, is that gluttony?
It is gluttony.
Yeah,
okay. Yep.
All right. Is John Matuszak's character Sloth?
Yes, he's right. Sloth. And he likes baby roots.
All right, here you go. Okay, that out. And the numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, you can call toll-free as well, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there?
Hey there. Good evening. Yes, it's Chris calling from New York.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, you guys just swallowed up two of my answers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Me and Sloth. That's okay. No problem. I do have one question.
Right.
And it was kind of inspired, Kira, by some questions you had asked on previous weeks. I was catching up on my listening, and I loved your questions about the spinoffs.
Oh, great.
So, Simpsons fans out there may know that The Simpsons did a spinoff special. And I don't know if any of the panel are Simpsons fans or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then just two questions about that episode. If you can, give me the titles or the subject matter of the three Simpsons spin-off stories that were presented.
Oh, my gosh. Was one of them, like, Love, Matt, at Grandpa?
Very good, yes, that's one okay. of them.
Was one of them Sideshow Bob?
No, it was not.
Okay, well, no, it wasn't the Frinktacular World of Professor Frink because he gets cut off at the end. Does the Ned Flanders one count? Whatever, Geese Love Gander. Oh, is that? No, that was 32 films about Springfield. Sorry about that. Wrong one.
That's okay. I'll give you a hint. One of them was a spoof of kind of those 80s detective crime shows.
Right, yeah, I don't remember. It's the Coach Wiggum one, but I don't remember what it was called. He's like he's in New Orleans.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's called the Chief Wiggum PI.
Okay.
And then the last one was, I guess you could say it was based off of a real life spinoff of a I guess it was a 60s and 70s comedy.
60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. You mean it's a playoff of the title of that comedy, or
it's a spinoff of an actual? In other words, it's a play on a spinoff of an actual 60s and 70s comedy. In other words, there was a real spinoff show of the 60s and 70s comedy. The Simpsons spoofed that.
I see. Okay.
I'm embarrassed, like, especially with that hint that should have made it obvious.
60s and 70s.
I'll tell you that it was the original comedy. The original 60s and 70s comedy was a comedy about a family.
Well, Happy Days? No.
No, I mean, it wasn't
Mark
Father Knows Best.
That's a... No.
No. Okay.
I can't even remember what the second one was. It didn't have Apu in it, did it? That's not
no,
right.
No, it did not. And actually, I'll tell you this. You actually got the first two already. Chief Wiggum P.I. was the first one presented. Love, Matt, at Grandpa was second. And this was the third.
Hmm.
And it featured, well, I can tell you this. It featured all of the Simpsons family in it, with the exception of one character who, according to the plot, refused to participate.
Oh, was that episode? It was the like the Brady Bunch variety, not the Brady Bunch, not the Partridge Family. It was the one that Lisa refused to participate in, so they got some
you got
tall blonde.
You got it. Yes,
that was
you
that
just,
episode?
You just named the actual show that it spoofed. Yeah, it was the spoof of the Brady Bunch Hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Hour. Oh, wow.
Well, I have one more question, actually, about about that episode. At the start of the episode, you know, it's hosted by Troy McClure, who is voiced by Phil Hartman.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole kind of premise of the spinoff episode was that Fox had some holes to fill in their schedule, and he went over to an actual schedule that showed a schedule that was relatively empty with the exception of three actual Fox shows. Which, what are the three Fox shows?
Married with Children was one.
Believe it or not, no, it was not one.
No, was it after that? Was it 24 at that point?
No, that's a little too late. You know, 24 being too late. The spinoff special aired earlier than that.
Right. Was there
actually, you know what?
Was there a Herman's Head joke in there though?
No. Actually, okay. It was three.
Was it
successful Fox shows?
Like 90210 or anything?
Malcolm
You're
in
close.
The Middle.
Or Melrose Place?
Melrose Place.
Yes, Melrose Place is one.
Okay. So this is the 90s because Phil Hartman was still around.
Exactly.
Oh, good point. Okay, so we're mid-90s Fox.
And,
Married with Children was on then, wasn't it?
It might have been, yeah.
Mad TV? That was on Fox, right?
Oh, you better fill it in for us.
Open House?
The three series were Melrose Place, The X-Files, and I think you're missing the obvious one.
Oh, Trace, no.
The Simpsons?
The Simpsons, yeah.
Yep, that's right.
All right, there you go.
All right. Well, guys, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Mike from Hayward.
Hi, Mike.
I just called about the Billboard Hot 100.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would that be Sukiyaki?
Oh, no.
Oh. Oh, no.
It's not.
All right.
That's a good guess, though.
Thank you. So long.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
That song's been on the Billboard Hot 100 a surprising number of times by different people.
What is the only color mentioned in all of the Best Picture Academy Award winners? And what films was it mentioned in? What film titles?
How Green Was My Valley?
That is, yes,
so Green. Okay, sorry.
Right.
And Green Book.
Right. Okay. That was easy. I shouldn't say it. It was a good answer.
I happen to, yeah.
There you go. Green.
Great.
And, all right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia.
Hi, Fred.
Okay, could possibly Kansas overrated tourist attraction be the Ball of Twine?
The world's largest ball of twine, yes.
Although it is awesome, and you can only add strength once a year.
I wasn't
on the official day.
I wasn't aiming low enough with my guesses.
And I want to say happy Indigenous Peoples Day to you. You won't get any mail tomorrow.
No, all right.
And to you as well.
What municipality first changed for the designation Columbus Day to Day of Solidarity with Indigenous People?
Was that Berkeley?
Berkeley, Go Bears, 1992.
There you go.
Original one. Second question is, what was the approximate, within 10%, estimated population of the Western Hemisphere on October 13th, 1492? When the Americas were so-called discovered.
Yeah.
Right.
How many humans were living
north
in
and,
the hemisphere?
North and South America?
The entire Western Hemisphere.
I'm going to say 2 million.
That definitely is not within 10%. Any other guesses?
50 million?
Getting there. Keep going.
100 million.
100 million. That is exactly right.
Hmm.
Which was an amazingly high number. I read that in the newspaper. And one San Francisco question, Columbus Avenue.
Right.
Has two famous businesses that are well known. What is on Columbus Avenue in San Francisco?
City Lights is on Columbus.
Yeah.
City Lights, number one. Next.
The Stinking Rose is on Columbus.
Is the other one you're looking for a restaurant?
It's a nightclub.
Oh.
Oh, the big one where they used to have the mermaid.
Address is actually in the title.
Oh.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's not Bimbo's.
It's not
Bimbo's.
Oh, not Bimbo's. It's a something something club.
Go with Bimbo's.
Oh, is it Bimbo's? It's like Bimbo's
365.
365.
Yeah, that's 365.
Okay. Great show. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Chris from El Cerrito.
Hi, Chris.
All of the ones I had were answered, but I'll just take a couple of guesses. Nebraska, the most overrated site, is it the Buffalo Bill Museum?
Nope.
That's in Denver, isn't it? Buffalo Bill, Cody.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kansas, the Fred Astaire Museum?
Nope. Kansas was the world's largest ball of twine.
Oh. The Brad Pitt sin, has that been answered?
Not yet.
It's like rage or anger?
Right.
I'm going to give that to you. It's wrath.
Wrath. Thank you.
Wrath.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Okay.
And since, can I just ask one quick question?
Sure. Go ahead.
It's geography. Ghana in West Africa is surrounded by three French-speaking countries. Can you tell me what the three countries are?
Côte d'Ivoire is one.
Cameroon?
No.
What else is French-speaking?
Senegal?
Benin?
Benin.
No.
Togo? They don't.
Togo is right.
Okay.
And one to the north.
Is it... it's not Chad. It's Mauritania. It's
Mauritius.
Not upper Volta. It's not.
What about Algeria?
No.
Is
it's
it
way north?
Is it the old Upper Volta that's now called?
You're on the right track.
Yes. What's the new name for Upper Volta? I think of the old name. Ay, ay, ay. I always think in terms of the old names. But am I right about the country?
Yeah.
Okay. Upper Volta is... I can't think. It just went right out of my head.
Burkina Faso.
Burkina Faso. Okay. All right.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank
Great
you.
Show.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi. It's Harry and Susan in Berkeley.
Hi, Harry. Hi, Susan.
For Illinois, the most overrated could be Wrigley Field.
That is a good guess. It was the Bean. The Cloud
what?
Gate.
I missed that. What?
The Bean.
Okay.
The big silver bean.
Okay. And the element that was isolated, could that possibly have been mercury?
It was not mercury.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Kara, can I guess on the marching band
sure.
then? So yeah. Is that Vanity?
Is that Vanity is very close, but there's more to the name,
Vanities.
Too.
Okay.
Huh. So which ones are left?
Just the name of University of Mississippi's marching band, the Ole Miss Marching Band.
But that's the sin? It's Vanity or
the
something.
Sin is
the,
sin.
Pride.
Pride is the sin, but
the pride
the
of Mississippi?
Yes.
I'm just going to give it to you. It's close. The pride of the South.
All right.
The
South. Okay. There you go.
It's a team effort.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello. This is Karen and Robert in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
Just got scooped on the Pride of the South.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Mississippi.
Sorry.
But what about gluttony as the sin that has to do with swallowing?
Yep. It is the vice whose name is derived from the Latin word meaning to gulp down or swallow.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
The element in 1669 was phosphorus.
It was phosphorus.
Very
it
good.
Was isolated by heating urine, which I think is a fun tidbit. Good job.
Okay, take care.
Thank you very much. All right, let's clean up. What do we got? Oh, you want to take one more? All right, we'll do one more. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Caller? No? Oh, sorry. Okay, now it's time to clean up. What do we got, Kira?
All right, the most overrated tourist attraction in Nebraska, as ranked by Nebraskans, was Chimney Rock. And the title of the Hot Billboard Hot 100 song that can be roughly translated as I Learned by Means of Suffering, that is Disco Inferno.
Ah. God.
Okay. All right.
You love it.
The point,
I wouldn't assume that if I were you.
Sorry. The point on Earth that is furthest from Earth's center is a mountain in Peru. It's the highest peak in Peru called Chimborazo, which that's the only one I have out.
Oh, all yeah. right. So nobody guessed on my most common first letter in words. Do you want to guess on any of these? You don't have to give me an order anymore.
Okay, if I don't have to give you an order, I'm still going to go with E and I.
Neither one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, S-T-N-R. No, none of those?
No, you got a little bit, but... Okay, the most common first letters used in English words, T-O-A-W-B.
Wow. I would have thought M would have been in there.
T-O-A-W-B, yes. And I think that's it for me, actually. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Now, thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, and Cameron Shaw, cinematographer and teacher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Alatulit and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you will join us again next Sunday at 7 p.m. because I'll be here, I hope. And hopefully you'll be here too. So take care, everybody, and join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got, you get. If it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't bean, it's frank. It's got to be this or that.